Good morning and welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this Thanksgiving Day. I'm afraid that if you feel cool, it is not your imagination. They put a new thermostat here, and it used to be you could override the old one if you went into the furnace room and clicked a little switch. But that doesn't work anymore, so hopefully the heat will come on, and if it doesn't, just kind of try to stay warm, but maybe it can also remind us, I'm sure, of the first Thanksgiving when there was no heat, but people did gather around still, regardless of the circumstances, to give thanks to God for his bountiful goodness, not only of the bread of the earth, but also of the bread of heaven. We begin our service today with the singing of our first hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, hymn 36. Written by Martin Rinkert, who was a Lutheran pastor in the 17th century, and after plague and devastation that struck his town, and he had buried over thousands of his parishioners, he could write this hymn, not because of outward circumstances, but because he could see the gracious God who provided not only for earthly security, but more importantly, eternal security. We join our hearts and voices and now thank we all our God. We rise for the last stand. For those who are able, we rise for the last stands in honor of our triune God, and then remain standing for our liturgy, which begins on page 5 of our hymnal.
Thank you.
refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who hast given thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us the knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe in his name he giveth power to become the sons of God, and promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Thanksgiving Day, the Old Testament lesson is written in the fifth book of Moses, the eighth chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning at the first verse. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "All the commandments I am commanding you this day you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out upon you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God is disciplining you just as a man disciplines his sons. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, the land of wheat and barley, the vines and fig trees and pomegranates, the land of olive oil and honey, the land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, the land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you this day. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say in your heart, 'My power and the strength of my hand made me this well.' But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. So you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God." So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson is written in St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, beginning at the sixth verse of the ninth chapter. The apostle writes, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, 'He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.' And he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Here ends the epistle lesson. And now for those who are able, we rise to speak the gradual responsibly, and at the conclusion, sing the triple hallelujah. O Lord, how many are your works?
Yes.
O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great.
You are clothed with honor and majesty.
He waters the mountains from his upper chambers.
The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works.
He causes the grass to grow for the cattle.
And vegetation for the labor of man, that he may bring forth food on the earth.
The eyes of all wait upon you.
And you give them their meat in due season.
You open your hand. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God.
For it is just to sing praises to God.
Thanksgiving is written in the 17th chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 11th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And it came about that while Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 leprous men who stood at a distance, and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came about, as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw he had been cleansed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to Jesus. And this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 healed, but the 9? Where are they? Were none found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the Samaritan, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. So far, the Holy Gospel.
Praise be to thee,
Please join me as we make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed at top page 12.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Now join our hearts and voices in hymn 34, My Soul Now Bless Thy Maker.
Thank you. While sanctified by God the Father and preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, which was read earlier. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 healed, but the 9? Where are they? Were none found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the Samaritan, Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well. So far the text, let us pray. Let the word of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, life can get busy, and the pace of life seems to get busier and more hectic each and every year. And sometimes when life gets busy, little social amenities can either be ignored or forgotten. I'm sure we all remember when we were children and our parents taught us to say the magic words. The magic words, of course, when we wanted something were please, and then when we received it, thank you. As we grew older and we would receive gifts, I'm sure we all learned how to write bread and butter letters. You know, those are the kind of letters that basically say, thank you when we've received a gift. And it doesn't matter even when our favorite aunt would send us purple and yellow socks for Christmas, we would be sat down and say, thank you for this wonderful gift. I'm sure I will remember you each and every time I wear it. So, you know, one need only read Dear Abby or Ann Landers to realize that when thank yous are forgotten, people's feelings can get hurt. And as a matter of fact, they can be more than get hurt. Often people write to the columnists and they express anguish over the fact that no thanks were forthcoming. For example, we sent a wedding gift, never received a thank you. Perhaps we've even cared for an ill or dying parent, and the other siblings never said thank you. And sometimes the lack of thanks can embitter relations between people so that brothers and sisters or others in the family no longer speak to each other. And sometimes, instead of reconciling during one's lifetime, such bitterness basically is not even broken by death. To people who have not been thanked, the silence of seeming indifference can be profoundly hurtful. That silence almost says, you know, you don't matter. You're nothing to me. So what? And so the all-too-human response to such silence is tit-for-tat bitterness. And as I've said, it can mean that family members don't even speak to each other for years. And so we may ask, if that's how it is between people, how is it between people and God? How does God react in the face of silence, of thankfulness, indifference, or ingratitude? And that brings me to my sermon topic for this Thanksgiving Day, when silence is not golden. And I'll develop that in three parts. First, tenor cleansed. Secondly, the silence of the 9. And thirdly, breaking the silence. As we read in today's lesson, Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. In Mark, we read why he is going up to Jerusalem as he says to his disciples, Behold, we, he's speaking to his disciples, and there were, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him up to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise from the dead. But even though Jesus explicitly told them that was what was going to happen, the disciples didn't understand. And as a matter of fact, instead of trying to comfort Jesus, James and John got into a squabble with all the other disciples, and they were demanding a place at Jesus' right and left hand when he would come into his kingdom. Jesus can only shake his head at such misunderstanding. But as Jesus is going up to Jerusalem, he's taking a roundabout way and he's passing through the border of Samaria and Galilee. And as he passes through a certain village, 10 lepers meet him. They are in a small village. As a matter of fact, according to Mosaic law, they cannot dwell in any walled town. So here they are, 9 Jews and a Samaritan. And now we all know from different lessons that Jews and Samaritans didn't get along with each other. As a matter of fact, they hated and despised one another because they thought they were worshiping different gods. But here in the company of being an outcast and of anguish, I guess misery loves company, and so the Jews and Samaritans, all of whom were lepers, basically kind of banded together when no one else would associate with them. And so when they saw Jesus, they hollered, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Isn't it interesting? They didn't ask that Jesus should help them, but rather that he should have mercy on them. And Jesus did have mercy on them. He told them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And we may think, well, that's kind of a strange thing to say, isn't it? Why wouldn't he say, "There, you've been healed"? But no, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Because according to the Mosaic law, when a leper had been healed, or anyone with a skin disease had been healed, they were to show themselves to the priest to show that there was such a healing. And after 8 days that the healing was effective, they were to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. And so, the Jews and the Samaritan went their respective ways. The Jews went to Jerusalem, and the Samaritan probably to Mount Gerizim. And as they were going, they all realized that they had been cleansed. Both the Jews and the Samaritan were completely healed. But now we are confronted by the silence of the 9. Only one of them, after realizing that he had been healed, made a U-turn and went back to give thanks to Jesus. The Samaritan returned to worship in Jesus' feet to give thanks to God. And Jesus asked, "But where are the 9? You know, that's a good question. And I wish sometimes we could hear the voice of Jesus as to how he spoke these words. What was his tone? Perhaps, I think, if we would hear it, we would hear sadness in his voice. But where are the 9? What Jesus did was a tremendous miracle. The Jews of Jesus' day taught that lepers were basically the walking dead. And leprosy was considered to be some kind of curse from God, which only God could heal. And as a matter of fact, the rabbis considered healing a leper to be the equivalent of raising someone from the dead. By the way, Jesus could do both. Nobody else, but Jesus could. But Jesus had broken through the wall of sin separating people from God. And in so doing, he had healed the 10 lepers. And he is going to Jerusalem, where he will be the final sacrifice for sin, bringing healing to the world. And here on earth, rather than thanks, there's the deafening silence of the ingratitude of the 9. In Jerusalem, when Jesus finally arrives, there will be the roar of mockery and betrayal. Forgiveness, that is healing, came to the lepers because of the compassion of Jesus. Not because they could deserved it. Nobody deserves mercy. But because in this life, Jesus shows compassion. And forgiveness in this life comes to us as well because of the same compassion. It is as Paul writes, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The 9 who went on their way without a second thought remind us of the children, perhaps at Christmas, who just grab their presents, rip them open, and never say thank you. Or those who receive wedding gifts and can't be bothered to write those bread and butter letters. Or the countless others who receive their daily bread, everything that belongs to the support and want of body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, field, cattle, money, goods, a pious servant, pious spouse, pious children, faithful rulers, good government, and the like, and never give thanks. They just say, oh, I deserve it. Why should I give thanks? But despite the silence, Jesus bears the burden. In the face of silence, the burden of shedding his holy and precious blood for us, and the burden of enduring the inner suffering and death that we and all others deserved. And we see that even though the Samaritan breaks the silence, the one who really breaks the silence is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Samaritan returned, and to him Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Quite literally, the last expression may also be translated, and it is the same in other miracles that Jesus did. Your faith has saved you. And it reminds us of when Jesus said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your sleeping mat and walk. On the one hand, the nine who were healed and walked away, never to return, received what we might consider temporal blessings. They who had been counted among the walking dead, because of the compassion of Jesus who healed their leprosy, now could be counted among the living. They could not. They who had once lived outside of walled cities and couldn't approach anybody now could lead normal lives. But one day, as the lives of all other human beings, their lives would end. But instead of death being a gateway to life eternal, because of their ingratitude and their thanklessness and their refusal to acknowledge the living Lord, they would enter into eternal death and eternal separation from God. On the other hand, the Samaritan returned to give glory to God and worship at Jesus' feet. He too had been counted among the living dead. But as opposed to the silence of the nine, his newness of life would last. It would last because Jesus' word of healing was also a word that gives faith through forgiveness. And this faith is from God, and it looks to Jesus as its author. And just as Jesus would triumph over death, so if the Samaritan would continue in that faith given him by Jesus, then when death eventually would come for him as it would come for all people, he would walk through the valley of the shadow of death with Jesus at his side to eternal life and blessedness and companionship with God. To countless millions over the ages, Jesus has offered the precious and holy gift of baptism, which is a washing of cleansing with the word. And here the cleansing is also offered to the lepers, but just with the word. You know, there is always the risk when Jesus offers his word of forgiveness, it will not be met with thankfulness, but with silence. It will not be met with thankfulness, but ingratitude. It will not be met with thanklessness, but maybe mockery and jesting. But you know, it is like a seed that is planted. If faith is nourished, it will grow. And if it is not nourished with God's word and his sacrament, it will shrivel up and die. And there will be the silence of indifference and neglect. Luther had some interesting comments when looking at this text. He said, we must live among ungrateful people, but we should not take offense and cease to do good on that account. On the contrary, as Solomon says, we should let our fountains be dispersed abroad, continually do good, and pay no attention to the poor thanks we reap. Just so God lets his sun rise daily on both the grateful and the ungrateful. For it requires no skill to live among the pious only and to do good to them, but it does require ability to associate with the wicked without becoming wicked yourselves. But thanks be to God. In spite of ingratitude, in spite of the silence of thanklessness, Jesus came into our world to bring a word of forgiveness, to renew and to be cleansed. And we have been forgiven so that in spite of the thanklessness of the world, we may speak the words of forgiveness and reconciliation that Jesus has first spoken to us. You know, among children, there may be times when silence is golden. We learned this, I think, when we were children. But children also learn to say thank you. And silence is not golden when there should be the giving of thanks rather than the silence of indifference. The silence of thanklessness is not golden, nor in this case is meeting silence with silence or bitterness and resentment. How did Jesus meet the silence of the nine? He did not become bitter. He did not become resentful. And it would be so easy to do that. I mean, you could hear Jesus say, well, where are the nine? Or is it, well, where are the nine? Was no one else left to give thanks to God except this foreigner? I think that's how Jesus' voice would sound. You know, he did not meet silence with resentment, just as he did not meet mockery and betrayal on the cross with calling down curses on those who spitefully mistreated him. But rather, he went to the cross, forgiving those who put him there. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. He came into a silent world with the word of forgiveness. The silence of death thought it could overcome him, but he broke through that silence on the third day. He broke through the silence to proclaim a word of forgiveness. He broke through the silence so that we might be forgiven, and being forgiven, live lives of thankfulness to him. How appropriate on this Thanksgiving Day. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Instead of singing the offertory on page 12, I thought we would make hymn 568 our offertory. We praise thee, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. And after we finish that hymn, we shall receive the offering. So hymn 568, we praise thee, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. And voices of the Thanksgiving Litany, which is printed in our worship bulletin towards the back, and at the conclusion, we continue then with the Lord's Prayer. Let us cry aloud our thanks to the All-Blessed Trinity for the tender love you show your whole creation. We give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
For the food we eat, the clothes we wear, and the homes in which we live, we give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
For our families, for husbands and wives, and especially children with their joy and their trust, for grandparents and grandchildren, for aunts and uncles, we give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
For fields and their harvests, for farmers and their labors, for the good earth and all its bounty, we give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
For our nation and all its people, and for the freedoms we enjoy, especially for the freedom to worship you in peace, we give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
For the sufferings that come upon us, and for the reminder they bring of the one thing needful, we give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
Above all, for the incarnation of our Lord, for his suffering and death, for his glorious resurrection and ascension, and for the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, we give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
For the Holy Church, for the divine waters of baptism, for the comfort of holy absolution, and for the life-giving sacrament of the altar, we give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
For the sacred scriptures, for the holy law that shows us our sin, and for the holy gospel that reveals the righteousness of Christ as your gift to us, we give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
We pray for those who are ill, especially for Nancy and Roy, Gerald, Jean, Marlene, Dawn, Linda, Carla, Kurt, Lee, Rose, and her husband, our neighbor Sue, Carolyn and her friend Sue, Dawn, Richard, Ruth, James, Chloe and Dagny, Doug, Pastor List, and those whose names in our hearts which we lift up to you now, trusting that you will give them that healing which is needful for body, soul, and spirit, in confidence that you hear us, we give you thanks.
And bless your holy name.
For these and all your mercies, mercies beyond number and measure, for all of which it is our joy to stand before you and to give you thanks, we give you thanks. You are indeed blessed and holy and worthy of all honor and praise, O Father Almighty, O only begotten Son, O Spirit of holiness. To you alone do we give all glory now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Thank you.